Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning. Are you all right? I hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. Right, Adam, bushy tailed, rocking around for the day ahead. Come on, wake up, wake up. The day's half over. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Okay, it is 8 in the a.m. British summertime. Or what is it, Wednesday now? Wednesday the 6th of May in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Good, good. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us. Without you, it isn't a thing. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for being here. What more could I ask for? Getting involved in the chat and the poll. We got a poll up, have we?
Yeah.
Okay, get involved in that. Why not? It's free. Should we stop faffing about? Should we just stop fannying about and get on with what's in the news cycle this morning? What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What's that evil cabal of Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is or isn't important? What are they lying to you about by omission, if nothing else? In their little WhatsApp group, their little boomer Facebook group. Don't talk about the Ukrainian rent boy arson crimes. Don't talk about who Epstein really was and what he was doing and for what purpose. Yeah? Right, we've got borrowing costs hit 28-year high. The bond market gilts. And come cry with me. A pun on come fly with me. You know, that Frank Sinatra song. But there's so many flights being cut that it might make you cry. Come cry with me, come fly with me. You get it, you get it. Okay, we start with The Guardian. Oh, God. It's far too early for that. Jeez Louise. The Guardian. Labour under pressure after UK borrowing hits 28-year high. Great. We can't really afford to borrow much anyway. I mean, borrowing, selling gilt-edged bonds, government bonds. There was a headline the other day, wasn't there? Something along the lines of like a Labour return to the 1970s. Which is referenced to in the 1970s. Britain was in a bit of a slump economically. Well, any more ways than one, but certainly economically. Largely Labour governments all through the 70s. And they mismanaged the economy to some degree. In fact, there was an oil crisis in the early 70s as well. The OPEC sort of oil crisis, a very different one to this one. But anyway, the economy was in the doldrums. We even had power cuts and things. People like 4 day week and stuff. In the end, Labour government had to go to the International Monetary Fund and borrow money. That's how bad the public purse was. Is that something like that going to have to happen again? We're going to have to borrow billions and billions and billions just to try and stave off utter bankruptcy. Because we're spending so much on what? Foreign aid, internal welfare bills, the NHS, stupid stuff. UK government bonds, not that great. Is there like loads of other world markets like giant hedge funds or whatever, pension funds, they really want to stock up on UK government bonds? Wouldn't have thought so, not particularly. Fears long-term bond sell-off could blow hole in Reeves' spending plans. Yeah, her spending plans are insane. Just tons and tons more spending. We need to be cutting spending massively. As bad as that would be. You know, as much as that would be, that's not pleasant in and of itself, of course. But that's the prudent thing to do. That's the right thing to do. Just like a normal person, just like you or I. If you live beyond your means, you just spend way more money than you make. So much more that you have to get a credit card. You have to get a loan from a bank or a loan shark or whatever. Okay, you max all of that out. Then what? Then what? You max out your overdraft. You max out every single credit card anyone would dare let you have. Get loans from the dodgiest of places. But once you've exhausted all of that, then what? And you're still planning to spend more. What nonsense. What nonsense. Rachel Reeves. She doesn't... I really don't think she understands economics, basically. Like really, really, really simple 101 stuff. Like the first month of doing an A-level in economics. That sort of level. She doesn't seem to understand. Well, she's a socialist. She's a lefty. So, of course, she doesn't. It's almost like they want to tank the economy. It really does feel like that. Okay. There's Beyonce wearing some absurd dress. Okay. Absurd. Not absurd. Fast track hate crime cases. Oh, it's not a two-tier system, though. Do some sort of hate crime, particularly against Jews, you get fast-tracked straight through the courts. Not a two-tier system, though. Remember a few years ago, maybe as much as 10 years ago, people saying Beyonce's like the most beautiful woman in the world. I never saw it myself. Never saw it. The Financial Times, okay, some nonsense story about Russian music being played in an art gallery, all right. Long-term borrowing costs highest in decades as prolonged inflation looms. Great. We've already had prolonged inflation, haven't we? We've already had years and years and years of relatively high, if not sometimes very high inflation. Just going to keep going. Things are really, really expensive. What's my go-to thing for moaning about inflation? Cheese. Go and buy a block of cheese in Tesco or Sainsbury's or something. Just going to keep going higher. Toiletries are really expensive, right? Go and buy some shower gel, a can of deodorant or something, some toothpaste. How much? How much do you want for that? It's not funny. Not funny. I'm laughing in like a concerned, anxious laugh. Can't afford things. Middle Eastern crisis deepens. Gilt yields up. A top 1998 level. Elections add uncertainty. Reeves buffer at risk. There's no real buffer. Her figures don't add up. Obviously not. Okay, the Telegraph, the daily Tory graph. Almost as left-wing as everything else on Fleet Street. There's the Duchess Sophie. That's Edward's wife. The oldest boy, obviously King Charles. Andrew, disgraced Andy, the next boy. And then there's another one, little Eddie. That's his missus. She's talking some nonsense about something I've got no idea and don't care about. Okay, Starmer could cost us election, says Welsh leader. So, thing to say. It's not just a lot of the councils and the local elections in England. It's also for the devolved parliaments in Scotland and Wales as well, this election tomorrow. And as that headline says, the Labour leader in Wales fears they could get wiped out or largely wiped out. I think there's 60 seats in that Welsh Parliament. I won't even attempt to say the name. Some countries don't like it when you attempt their words and mispronounce them. Have you ever gone to France and tried to speak some French to a French person? And they're just like, don't, please, you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing me and you, don't. I can speak some English, let's just do that. Don't butcher our words, please. I think sometimes some Welsh people are a bit like that. It's like, don't. So anyway, 60-odd seats there. And maybe, controlled by Labour, isn't it? And that they may well get wiped out there. I mean, very may well. Plaid Cymru. Pronounced that terribly, haven't I? Say I shouldn't even have tried. The Greens and Reform May all do well. Everyone except for the Tories and Labour. That's what the polls across the board are showing. Labour getting absolutely annihilated, but also the Tories losing out, sort of as a net overall final result. Now, they might pick up some here, but they'll lose a few more overall. So Labour massively getting trounced and the Tories being weakened. Lib Dems probably somewhere in and around about where they always were. And everyone else, whether it's Independent, SNP, Cymru, I shouldn't say it. I should get Voice of Wales to tell me how to say it properly, shouldn't I? And of course, Reform, Independence, and hopefully in Great Yarmouth. Great Yarmouth first. Rupert Lowe's Restore Britain thing. There. I think I should be going. I may even do some sort of report. Not live, but we'll take a camera and a cameraman there and maybe do a little filming on the night, tomorrow night. I'll still be back for the Bow Show on Friday morning. Don't you worry about that. I'm committed to you guys. I shall only ever miss a Bow Show if it's either completely booked in long ahead of time because I've got sort of legally got to take holiday, or if I'm badly ill. If I have an accident and break my leg, or I'm just really, really, really genuinely bedridden with influenza or something. Otherwise, I should be here. I should turn up. So I'll come back from Great Yarmouth late night, Thursday night, to be here for Friday morning. That's my promise to you guys. All right, so it looks like Labour will get wiped out just across the board in the councils in England and in the devolved parliaments in Scotland and Wales as well. All right. Little story here, civil servants, fake office attendance in work from home scandal. Yeah, you know, people started to be able to work from home a lot more during the COVID thing. And lots of people, particularly civil servants, if reports are to be believed, a lot of them just kept doing that, or if not, did it more. Well, this article says that lots and lots of civil servants haven't set foot in the office since then, since the COVID days. Sort of refusing to or something. And when by law they had to, they'd just fake it and lie about it and say, I've come in. Cover for each other or something. I don't know what. I don't know how would you fiddle that. I don't know, but apparently lots of civil servants just don't bother going to the office ever now. Great. That's great. All right. Brexit blocks McCann suspect extradition. Well, only for a little while. Don't worry about it. It'll be indefinitely. Okay, here's a little story, a crazy story. Report, quote, racist toddlers to police, nurseries told. Sounds like a parody, doesn't it? Sounds like a bad joke. Sounds like a far right, or perhaps far left, fantasy, doesn't it? But no, it's in Wales. There's some guidance came down from the devolved Welsh government, specifically to nurseries, saying if you see or hear any toddler doing or saying anything racist, call the police so they can record a hate incident. Right. That's the world. Don't try and teach them or talk to them or reason with them or anything like that. Just call the police on a toddler. That's the sort of world leftists want. That's the sort of world anti-racists want. Isn't it? What a disgusting sort of society that is. Thanks, anti-racism. Brilliant. Okay, the Mirror, pure slop. Something about Kylie Minogue, don't care. PM's election message, we're still the only ones on your side. Who believes that? Really, who believes that? Starmer and this Labour government is the only one on your side. Yeah? Wow, absolute nonsense. Starmer says, we've boosted workers' rights, reduced NHS waiting lists. Well, boosted workers' rights in like a socialist way. Reduced NHS waiting lists. No, I don't believe so. You'd have to measure that in a very, very specific way to try and spin that. Created 2,000 new GPs. Is that even true? Stood up to Trump over Iran war. I'll give you that. And we promise better is on the way. Oh, don't worry about all the endless leaves. Don't worry about that you made abortion legal up to the point of birth. Don't worry about you're trying to give away foreign territories. Don't worry about you're demonising all the troops. Don't worry about you tried to bring in ID cards, one of the most dystopian things you could imagine. And on and on and on and on. Don't worry about the Mandelson thing. Don't worry about the endless U-turns. Don't worry about you destroying the high street, taxing people into oblivion. Don't worry about you've done nothing about the small boats. Legal migration still being flooded by foreign people. Locking in our demographic decline. Making us a hated and marginalised minority in our one and only ancestral homeland. No? Oh, but you boosted workers' rights. Look, the mirror, you get it though, the mirror is standing for him, really, isn't it? Look, they've put that on the front page. There's no editorial bit saying, what nonsense, what a loser, what an idiot, no one believes that. No, that's what... They're peddling that. Hey, the Times, the venerable Times, something about Paul McCartney, don't care. Polanski's false claims about Red Cross role during a deputy run. This is a slightly funny story. That Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden, David Paulden, apparently in the past, he had claimed that he worked for the Red Cross, that he was their spokesman, and he just wasn't. So just lying. Well, apparently what it was, on a website or something, this was when he was running to be the deputy leader of the Greens, like a few years ago in 2022, around then. And he just said a number of times, I think on a website and in person, he just said, like, we, about the Red Cross, we do such and such, we did such and such. Or that he was actually their spokesman or something. And he just wasn't. And the Red Cross have said he was never a spokesman. But what he did do, apparently, according to the article and other articles, other things about Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden, is that he did, like, appear on stage with them, something or other, at some sort of events. He was on stage with them more than once, even. You know, talking to, and obviously somehow he, in some way, sort of associated himself with them to speak like, we are doing something, we think something or other. But he wasn't, I mean, it's a little bit of a nitpicky thing. Whether he wasn't their spokesman at all, formally, but he sort of suggested he was. Bit shady and dishonest, but not, I mean... Not completely insane. It's not like saying I'm an astronaut when you're not or something, but okay, all right. New powers to treat Iran proxies as foreign spies. Fine, let's do that for all countries. Let's try and rid these islands of foreign espionage if we can. Across the board. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Criminals acting for Tehran face 14 years in jail. Nice, good. No, got no problem with that. Now do everyone else. MI5, MI6, GCHQ. Can you do your job? Can you try and rid us of, like, Chinese influence? No? Yeah. Israeli influence? No, just Tehran, is it? Just the Iranians. Okay. Oh, but it's not a two-tier system. Sure. Sure. Okay. The Sun. Same picture of Beyonce there. Weird. as Iran hits straight, 13,000 flights axed for May. That's domestic UK, not just domestic inwardly, but flights from the UK to the rest of the world. 13,000 of those axed for the month of May. Holes chaos over fuel shortages. Holes holidays. Vacation. Vacation chaos over fuel shortages. Come cry with me. Let's cry. Let's cry away. Oh, Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. You've got to love it. You get it, though. Come fly with me. And come cry with me. They rhyme, don't they? Very clever, the Sun. Very, very clever wordplay. I got a team of wordsmiths working round the clock on that one. Come cry with me. Okay. The eye paper. About the best you get out of Fleet Street, isn't it? A little blurb on the front of the eye paper. Millions face flight cancellations as jet fuel shortage deepens and Iran ceasefire falters. Well, it's not a ceasefire. If they're blowing up stuff in the UAE, then there isn't a ceasefire, is it? Why they? Hexis came out yesterday, I think, and just said, there's still a ceasefire. That still holds. That's still a thing. But it's not then, is it? Isn't Israel still doing loads of stuff in Lebanon, isn't it? I mean. Oh, but there's a ceasefire because Pete Hegseth says there is. Okay. Yeah, all right. All right, Pete. Britain's set to be among countries hardest hit by jet fuel shortages this summer, with warnings that airlines will cut millions of seats on flights this month and next. We'll just go on holiday in Britain. Go on holiday to Norfolk or the Peak District or the Lake District or the Snowdonia region or the Scottish Highlands or anywhere on the South Coast. There's a million and one places in Britain which are absolutely beautiful. You don't have to spend your money abroad and put it in the pockets of foreigners, do you? You don't have to do that. 13,000 flights have already been cancelled from May schedules. Quote, the longer the crisis goes on, the more cuts should be expected, quote, warns aviation experts. War in the Middle East dangerously close to reigniting. It has reignited. Did it ever really stop exactly? Not really, did it? Okay, it's dangerously close to reigniting. What a weird way to characterise it. They're firing stuff at each other. Okay, dangerously close. After Iran launches barrage of drones and missiles on the United Arab Emirates for a second day. The contradiction of that, the double talk of that. It's dangerously close to reigniting, but there's been 2 days of barrage of drones and missiles. What? What are you talking about? Do you think you're addressing a small child that can't understand what words mean or what reality is? Who are you kidding? Who do you think you're kidding? Okay. Ceasefire remains in force, does it? Despite clashes in the Straits of Hormuz, says US. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? How weird. Just straight up lie. Just straight up say, you know what your eyes are seeing and your ears are hearing. Yeah, it's something else, though. We admit that your eyes and your ears are experiencing what they're experiencing, but it's something else. It's a ceasefire. One particular opinion writer says, ceasefire is on the brink and maybe out of Trump's control. Maybe. I mean, Trump is saying stuff like, everything's, I think that's quite literally one of his quotes from yesterday, perhaps the day before, he's saying, everything's under control. Everything's going well. We're close to getting a deal with Iran. Relax, everything's under control, basically. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's very, very close to his exact words. We've got it under control. It's like, well, have you, though? Doesn't really look like it, particularly. All right. Can't criticise Trump, otherwise you've got TDS. If you criticise Trump at all, you've got TDS. If you back him up in any way, you're a Zio shill. What can you do? What can you do? Like talking about Ukraine and Russia. You say anything pro-Putin, you're a Kremlin shill. You're being paid by the Kremlin. Right? If you say anything kind about Ukraine in any way, you're just a Zelensky shill. What can you do? All right. The Independent. Here's a story about... I think I've mentioned it really briefly yesterday, and I'll only mention it briefly here. There's this one cruise ship. It's currently anchored off of the Cape Verde Islands, I believe. And some sort of quite bad virus broken out there. 3 people dead. And, you know, it's like a plague ship now. It's not the plague. But... And it says they're airlifting some people off because... It will probably spread or has started to spread amongst loads of other people. That would be worrying. Even a ship that's relatively large like that. I mean, it's not gigantic, is it? But it's relatively large. You knew that there was a truly deadly virus on board that ship. And you're not allowed off. You know, it's quarantined. Effectively, no one wants you off that ship. And you've just got to stay there for days and days and days, maybe weeks on end. Just largely sitting in your room, hoping you don't get ill. And if you do get ill, you might actually die. That'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? It'd be horrible. Okay. Ceasefire shattered as Iran fires drones and missiles at UAE. US insists Middle East truce is holding... the truce is holding, even as United Arab Emirate defences come under attack for a second day and clashes resume in Straits of Hormuz despite Trump's Project Freedom to protect ships. Saw someone in the chat yesterday saying, why is Bo saying that the UAE is coming under attack when it's just Iran attacking US sites in the UAE? Why is Bo being disingenuous, pretending he doesn't understand that? Well, because that's not exactly what's going on, is it? A fair amount of these attacks are on the actual UAE's oil infrastructure. They're not just US military sites. Some are, so it's partly true. That's not the only thing that's going on there. People in chat say the strangest things. Yes, the other day we had a poll saying about do you think Trump will wipe Iran off the map? Someone in the chat's like, what a dumb poll. What are you even saying? It doesn't even make sense. Where'd you get that from? It's like, it's Trump's words. Those were Trump's words. Get a clue. All right. I love you, chat, though. 99% of you are great and brilliant, saying funny things. All the funny things. All right. So Project Freedom. It's on pause at the moment. That's the part of Epic Fury. APAC Fury. Project Freedom is the element of it to escort like the 2,000 odd ships that are stuck in the Persian Gulf. Because after you go through the Straits of Hormuz, then that whole sea above that is the Persian Gulf. And there's no way out of that. There's no canal that gets you to the Med or anything. So if you can't get out of the Straits of Hormuz, you're stuck there. You're stuck there forever. So and there's like 2,000 odd ships, some of them obviously massive cargo ships and massive tankers. And their crews added up is something like 20,000 people, mostly men. 20,000 odd men sort of stuck there. Won't take all that long before it's like an actual humanitarian crisis thing. The conditions on board some of those ships must already be getting quite bad, if not very bad. But Trump's paused it. A couple of different angles you could take on that. Whether, you know, the Iranians or anyone who's pro-Iranian would argue that he's lost his nerve again, lost his bottle, he's not capable of keeping it open. The US Navy is not capable of keeping it open. That's what they would say, right? The other end of the spectrum, or Trump himself is saying it's to do with negotiations. We're trying to get round a table still, perhaps with the Pakistanis as mediators, and strike a deal, and we need to pause this operation or Project Freedom because of that. That's the reason. And it's only for a short time anyway. So who knows exactly? It's not quite the fog of war, is it? But it's just, there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't find out about in real time straight away, do we? So exactly why Project Freedom has been paused. Just a bit of speculation. Not sure entirely. The Metro. Disdain Cam 1, Harry. The Metro's disgusting, traitorous, globalist, commie slop. The Metro. I think it's the worst. I think it's the worst. The Metro. The people behind the Metro are fifth columnists. You want, want to look into their Subversion MI5? No? Nah. Nah. After Martyr Call, Fear Over Kill List Plot. Oh, so this is a story about various people in the UK that are either Iranian or just massive critics of the Iranian regime. That they've been targeted. The headline reads, "A target on the backs of UK Iran critics." Do you think someone like Maya Tusi? Maya, let us know you're all right. Hashtag pray for Maya. They don't mention him, but there's other people that are just vocal Iranian critics, and apparently their details somehow were like posted online. They were sort of doxed, effectively. Doxing. We'll see where that goes, but... Right. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. The Express. Something about ICE being terrible in the United States, don't care. Unremovable is the headline in The Express. Unremovable, and there's a picture of, invaders. Barbaric invaders, every single one of them by definition a criminal. It's against the law to just cross the channel like that. That they're unremovable, I mean, the sub-headline thing says... Britain's broken asylum system laid bare as figures reveal only 495 small boat arrivals from Afghanistan, Eritrea, Iran and Iraq have been deported since 2018. Since 2018. 8 years ago. 8 years worth. 200 odd thousand people arrived on these small boats. Invaders, criminal invaders. And under 500 of them have been deported from those countries. Hardly any. Basically hardly any at all. In fact, some of them do extreme crimes. Get convicted of it and sentenced and convicted and sent to prison. Then after that, are still not deported. In both Britain... We would repeal any legislation, any foreign treaty preventing us from deporting these people and pass new acts of parliament, whatever was required to just deport them. And if their countries of origins won't take them, we'll have a full-blown diplomatic spat with that country. Ultimately find an island like St. Helena or something and put them there until their countries of origin take them back. Something like that. Just simply not allow them to be in the general population of this country. That's what I would do. Something along those lines. I'd get medieval about it. These are filth. These are criminal filth. Invading our country. In order to sponge off us and commit insane crimes, some of them. His name was Wayne Broadhurst. How many? How many rapes by these people is it going to take before globalists accept it's a problem, it's an issue? There isn't an upper limit of number of rapes, are there? For those types of people. Open borders people. Leftists. Traitors. They'll see a story that a boat migrant has committed a rape and just forget about it. Just, well, it happens. Native white people also do rapes, don't they? Meh. No. One day a real rain's going to come. Sweep them away. Back to their countries of origin. We've got to clear them out. Clear them out. All right. Should we have a look at our poll? What was our poll today? Harry, you have to put it up on my screen. Make it so. Engage. All right, we asked you guys this morning. Do you think Keir Starmer will call a snap general election if the party try to remove him? Interesting. There's a story here somewhere where Nigel said that. Where is it? Was it? Was it? Bear with me. There we go. On the Express. Farage says Labour will be, quote, smashed to smithereens, quote, at the ballot box, that is, and predicts early general election. I even saw one headline saying something from Keir Starmer. Not like he was at a lectern and gave a quote, but just people on the inside. That he's contemplating it. He might contemplate it. So anyway, we asked you guys, do you think he would? Now, the eyes have it. It's relatively close. Again, we didn't give you a maybe option. So yes or a no. 55% of you say yes. Over 800 odd votes. Well over 800. 55% of you say yes. 45% say no. Yeah, you know, my feeling was when people first sort of started talking about this, my thought was just that no, it was for the whole time, it's been no, Starmer won't do that. He wouldn't do that for a number of reasons. His psychology and just political calculation, he won't do that. Not the type of man to do that. It would sort of be out of spite. It would almost be out of spite to his own party, largely his own backbenchers, to do that. Because Labour surely would get trounced at a general election if one was called soon. It would just be like the nuclear button. Just be like the doomsday button for Labour if he were to do that. I just don't think he would do it. But in recent days, probably recent, just the last few days, it seems like an increasingly less insane likelihood to me. Maybe he would. He might. He's a funny dude, isn't he? He's a weird guy. And all his political acumen is like zero. His judgment is terrible, isn't it? On almost everything, his judgment is stupidly bad. Just way, way, way off the mark on almost everything he does and says and thinks, isn't it? So maybe. And Nigel said that. And as I say, there was a headline somewhere else where it was saying, you know, insiders say Keir Starmer's considering calling a general election if there's a coup against him. I mean, who knows? It's only sort of rumour, isn't it? It's only sort of a Westminster scuttlebutt. But who knows? That does, although our poll there, it sort of reflects my thinking. 50-50 in my mind, almost. Who knows, right? We don't really know what's going on in his mind. It would be his decision alone. Who knows what's rattling around in his tiny mind? I need more time to prosecute more British soldiers. What? All right. Shall we have a look at the website? So should we have a look at the price of oil? A quick look at the price of oil. What have we got today? West Texas, almost bang on $100. Brent, what is that? 108, 106? It's too small for my eyeballs. 106 or 108. So about a little bit less than yesterday. Down from yesterday slightly, but hovering around there for the last few days, isn't it? So once again, that psychological barrier of $100 a barrel. Anything above that is crazy expensive, or relatively expensive. All right, you get it. Let's move on. So we'll look at BBC. Was there a couple of stories on the BBC that were of slight interest? Kate returns to overseas visits. Shall we see if we get a picture of Kate looking radiant? Catherine Middleton, the Princess of Wales. Oh, there she is. Radiant as always. Okay. Hate crime prosecutions of any type, not just toddlers. Hate crime prosecutions will be fast-tracked after anti-Semitic attacks, but there's not a two-tier system of justice. No. It'd have to be some sort of racist or bigot or something, or some small-minded little Englander to think such a thing. But you will be fast-tracked through the system if you commit an anti-Semitic attack, though. You do something specifically aimed at native whites. In fact, the political class and the mainstream media will probably completely ignore it. Like the murder of Wayne Broadhurst. More or less ignore it. If they don't entirely ignore it, bury it as quickly as possible. Never mention it ever again. Right. Okay. Okay. That's what we're dealing with, are we? Look at the state of this. You remember? A few months ago, what was it? Last year? Some crazy Islamophiles decided to break into a factory that they thought was controlled by Israel, building software and hardware, military-grade stuff for drones that may or may not end up being used in Gaza. There's no, actually, at the trial, there was no evidence that that's what that factory was doing. It may or may not have done, just in the trial, it never came up whether it really was doing that or not. Anyway, these guys thought it was. Perhaps it was, by the way. I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know. But, all right. They got a van. There were six of them in total. They got a van, just drove it through the gates at night of this factory, smashing through the gates like it's a film. Stormed into the building wearing like red jumpsuits. Again, like they think they're in a film. With sledgehammers. And knew that security and or police would arrest them sooner rather than later. So in the few minutes they've got, tried to just destroy as much as they could with sledgehammers. They did like £1 million worth of damage. Like crazy leftists or Islamophile, or actual Islamists maybe. Look at the state of it. Look at this dead-eyed psycho. Look at this absolute moron. Is she clinically retarded? She might be, I don't know. And one of these women, was being, when the police turned up, quite relatively quickly, was being wrestled to the ground and trying to be restrained and put in handcuffs or whatever by a female cop. One of the other dudes, one of the males, we've got a picture of him, we don't have a picture of him. One of the males then decided to smash the female cop who's trying to arrest one of these in the spine with a sledgehammer twice, breaking her back, breaking the cop's back before he was almost immediately, seconds later, wrestled to the ground by another cop, male cop. Well, they've been convicted of criminal damage, and the man that hit the cop in the spine with a sledgehammer was convicted of GBH, grievous bodily harm. Just look at the state of it. It's what you would expect, isn't it? Leftist psychos. Psychos. Again, throughout history, it's nearly always political violence, usually, the vast majority of the time, comes from the left. And if there's anything from the right, it's a reaction to that. The forces of reaction. It's been a cliche since the 19th century of like a, as I say, a bomb-throwing red. Because they think they're righteous, don't they? They think they're on the right side of history. Again, at the end of their trial, when they had a moment to address the jury directly for, like, final moments, asking for clemency or whatever, or trying to justify themselves, they said, or most of them, if not all of them, said, no, we're really proud of what we did. We'd do it again, sort of a thing. We may have saved some lives in Gaza, ultimately, by what we did that night. So we're proud of it. Domestic terrorism, effectively, as far as I'm concerned, that's how I'd describe it. Criminal damage, it's a bit more than just criminal damage, isn't it? I would say. Politically motivated is far worse than just criminal damage, isn't it? To me, criminal damage is something like spray painting graffiti on some garages. Throwing a stone at a shop window and breaking it. That's criminal damage. What they did is like a much worse. Not just in terms of it was £1 million worth of damage, but their motivation for it. I mean, you go around doing that. Or their Palestine Action, by the way. Palestine Action, which is now a completely banned organisation. Was it Palestine Action that also broke into an RAF base? Was it RAF Bryce Norton? RAF Fairford? It was one of those. And squirted loads of paint into the engine of a military refueling craft or something, wasn't it? Or was it an AWACS? It was something that did loads and loads and loads of damage. A military installation. An RAF military installation. It's a bit more than just criminal damage, isn't it? Something like that. Palestine action. Ugh, get out of my country. Both sides of that conflict. What are you doing in Britain? Why is that conflict soiling our country? Gross. All foreign conflicts that spill out into this country. Like you might get Muslim and Christian Nigerians fighting each other in the street with machetes. Ugh, both sides. Go home. Right, whatever it is. You've got Sri Lanka's Tamil Sri Lankans and anti-Tamil Sri Lankans fighting each other. That's a bit old, that's a few years ago. But whatever it is. Indians and Pakistanis fighting each other in the streets. Ugh. Go and do that in your own countries. Sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. And on and on and on. Whatever you can imagine. All the conflicts. All the conflicts. Playing out here on our streets or whatever. Ugh. Please. Disgusting. Makes me sick to the pit of my stomach. Why are they here? All right. Oh, remember these two jokers? These two geniuses? Remember these two chumps? Don't remember? At a Manchester airport, allegedly, one of them just headbutted someone. Like in the terminal or whatever, in the waiting area, in a car park area or something. One of them just headbutted someone. So the police got called. The police go up to them, try and start putting them in handcuffs. They just start fighting back. One of them breaks the nose of a female cop. Oh, all right. Okay. In the end, the cops did... I mean, they're lucky not to have been shot. The cops at the airports there, they've got like little Heckler and Koch 9mm, haven't they? In the end, the cops do eventually wrestle them to the ground or whatever. There's that bit of footage where one's booting him in the head. Yeah, these are two sort of completely out of control psychos, basically, as far as I can tell. Might be inbred. Just going around headbutting people, breaking the noses of cops. But they thought they were under attack. There you go. Man accused of assaulting officer at airport says he felt he and his brother were under attack. They were just trying to arrest you. But you were under attack, so you had to fight back, break their nose. What are they doing here? Clear them out. Millions must go. All right, it's already 10-2. There's a couple of other stories I thought were interesting. There's one here. I know it's Dan Hodges. Ugh, Dan Hodges, gross. Idiot. Subversive. But reasonably interesting article. The secret Trojan horse plot to save Sir Keir Starmer. Ministers have told me all about the new strategy, and it's time, and it's the PM's final chance to save himself. Anyway, I read the article this morning. It's quite interesting. It's about Andy Burnham and his eyeliner. Is he wearing eyeliner? I think he might be wearing eyeliner. how there's a couple of sitting Labour MPs up in the north that apparently are prepared to give up their seat, which would trigger a by-election. Burnham gets it. Burnham's flipped the NEC, the governing body inside the Labour Party that would let him stand. He's flipped that. He'll win the by-election. Then he's in Parliament. Then there's a leadership election. And then he wins that. It's all a crazy long shot, though, isn't it? One, is there any such thing as a Labour safe seat at the moment? Two, has he really flipped the NEC? A lot of people saying no, that's fantasy. And then the idea that if he did become an MP and Summer hasn't been ousted by that point, because all that process would take a while, at least a month or 2 months, at the very, very, very least. That's the fastest possible imaginable thing. Would he then definitely win a leadership contest? And then if he did all of that, there's no guarantee that he would just make Labour win at the next general election in 2029, if a snap one isn't called before that. If Starmer doesn't do the doomsday option and just do general election. It's all a crazy long shot, isn't it, to get Burnham to be leader of Labour and the Prime Minister and then win in 2029. It just seems pure cope to me. There you go. Okay. I was going to check in with a little bit of Zach Polansky, real name Dave Paulden, but there's no real time. I was going to check in with a story about Putin. Some Putin stuff. The latest Putin fantasy out of the State Department and the Foreign Office. That he's going to be ousted by this guy. He's the Russian defense minister. What's his name? Sergei... What is it? God, I can't remember his name. Sergei... Something beginning with S. Shoigu. Right, yeah, Sergei Shoigu. That guy. That Putin might be cooed out. I just don't see it. This smacks it. There's no real detail in this article about how that would be, or the dynamic of it. No real details about it. Just saying it. You know, like all the stuff even years back. Putin's dying. Putin's going to die. People haven't seen him in a while. He's already dead. It's just nonsense, isn't it? It's just largely absolute nonsense fed to the media by the intelligence services or something. The pliant legacy media that work hand in glove with the intelligence services for some reason. Yeah, Putin's going to be cooed by this guy. I'd eat my hat. All right, should we have a look at On This Day in History? Because it's already gone 10-2. Let's have a quick look at On This Day in History. Down, you like that section. I like doing that section. Down through the centuries, on this day, what happened of note? All right, on the 6th of May, in the year 1527, Spanish and German imperial troops sacked Rome, ending the Renaissance. It didn't really end the Renaissance, but okay. Charles III, Duke of Bourbon, is killed in the assault, removing any restraint for the victorious soldiers. That's an interesting bit of history. Very, very, very interesting bit of history that most people don't really know. Brits, anyway, in the West, Brits and Americans, perhaps, don't really know much about. But that's a pivotal moment in time, that particular sack of Rome in 1527. What do you reckon, Harry? What do you reckon the chances are that on my history theme show, Epochs, O'Day's Epochs, behind the paywall, lotusetus.com, it's £5 a month, bronze tier membership. What do you reckon the chances are? I've talked all about that in some detail before. The chances are quite good. I can tell you the chances are very good because it is there. The Pope at the time, what is it? Clement VII, Giulio de' Medici, the second Medici Pope in quick succession. I did long-form content all about the Medicis. All about them. So yeah, Pope Clement VII. Lots of people didn't like the way he did things as chief pontiff, as Christ's vicar on earth. He was very corrupt. He was just very, very corrupt. Indulgence, selling of indulgences, least of all. And we're in the age of Luther there, aren't we? 1527? So there's lots and lots of Germans, the Holy Roman Emperor, and with German armies, who were Lutheran, or if not hardline, crazy hardline Lutheran, at least sympathetic to Protestantism. They didn't like the way it was being done in Rome. So eventually they march on Rome. Luther himself, by the way, was aghast. He's like, I didn't want this, what have I done? What sort of Pandora's box have I opened up here? But yeah, the Holy Roman Emperor and his German imperial troops marched on Rome. Apparently he never meant to actually sack it. It was all just a threat. It was all just a saber rattling to make the Pope fall in line and do what he wanted. But his men did just enter the city because it was largely undefended, almost entirely undefended. And then murdered and raped for like 6 months or whatever straight. Burnt Rome down again. I mean, Rome had already been sacked many, many times since the first sacking. Say the first, you've got Brennus way back in antiquity, but the first time Imperial Rome was sacked was in like the 5th century, isn't it? Alaric the Goth, the 5th century. So by the 16th century, Rome has been conquered and reconquered and sacked loads of times. Loads and loads of times. But this one was particularly bad. Like the whole population of Rome fell off a cliff. And something like 60,000 people lived in Rome at that point, and after this there's only like 10,000 left. They cleared it out, burnt it down, robbed it of any treasures it had, largely. People that lived through it said this was like an epoch-defining thing. There was like the world of the 16th century before that happened to Rome and the world after it. You know, like 9/11, say. Something like that. It was like it's, we're in a different timeline now because of what just happened. Yet to this day, most people haven't even heard of it. I wouldn't say it ended the Renaissance. I wouldn't say that. All right, anyway. On this day in 1626, Dutch colonist Peter Minuit organises the purchase of Manhattan Island from Native Americans for 60 guilders worth of goods. Very, very little, in other words. There you go. And then the English finally got it off the Dutch, didn't we, in a treaty. Not that long after, in the scheme of things. I think I've got long-form content all about the English and Dutch wars. We had three wars with the Dutch in the 17th century. I think I cover all of that in detail. Yep, it's there. Okay, the Eiffel Tower opens on this day in 1889. The Exposition Universelle World Fair in Paris opens with the recently completed Eiffel Tower serving as the entrance arch. The elevators in the tower are not yet ready, so intrepid visitors have to climb the 1,710 steps to reach the top. I've been up there. I've said that before, haven't I? It is a great view. You may as well, like, you can go there, just stand there, and you have to queue up again for another lift to there, and queue up again for another lift to the very top. You may as well just go to that bit, in my opinion. Go on a day when it isn't swamped with tourists. Because if it's swamped with tourists, it will take you all day. If it's really hot, that's going to be uncomfortable. All right. The Hindenburg disaster. Oh, the humanity. On this day, 1937, German airship the Hindenburg explodes in flames at Lakehurst in New Jersey, killing 35 of the 97 on board and one on the ground. Yeah, a dirigible, an airship. Back in the 30s, they were filled with flammable gas. No one saw it coming that it's like a giant bomb, really. Not exactly a bomb, but not a great idea to have an airship filled with flammable gas. Well, I know now. On this day, in 1941, Joseph Stalin becomes Premier of the Soviet Union, replacing Foreign Minister Molotov. Well, obviously, we're in World War II, and being the premier is not the same as being like the de facto head of state. Even to this day in Russia, right? Sometimes Putin will swap titles with Medvedev. Sometimes he's the prime minister, sometimes he's the president, Putin is. It's just a legal thing. Everyone knows that policy is set by him. He's the leader, de facto. Call it what you want to call it. Same with this. Of course it was Stalin that was calling all the shots, whether he's the premier or not. And has been since the 20s. He'd already been in power for a long time by 1941. All right, let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let me just do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Who's in at number one, do you reckon? Every day, basically every day. Got to respect the grind. It's global church history. Of course it is. Cheers, buddy. You say you give us a couple more. You nearly always give us a couple more on this day in history factoids, don't you? Thank you for that. What have we got today? You say, on this day in 92 AD, the Apostle John survived his sentence to be boiled alive, converting many. So he was exiled to Patmos instead. Yeah, the Apostle John. John the Beloved. Jesus loved John the most, according to the Gospels. John the Theologian. Lived to be very old. The last surviving disciple, apostle. Obviously wrote the book of John. And the book, according to legend, was it legend? The book of Revelation, after he was exiled to Patmos. But yeah, I mean, you're supposed to believe the Romans tried to boil him alive in oil, in boiling oil, and it just didn't work. I mean, it's just another one of the miracles, Christian miracles, that the Romans wanted to execute him with a giant cauldron of boiling oil. They dunked him in it in front of everyone, in front of the crowds of Rome, and he was unharmed. That's why I can't count myself as an actual practicing Christian. I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe them. Right? It's not like the word and teachings of Christ haven't got some merit. I wouldn't say that. But I can't count myself as a Christian because you're supposed to accept on faith that that happened. I don't. I can't. If I search my soul, I can't. Don't ask me to have faith that that happened. I don't believe it. That Jesus walked up to a man who was born without eyeballs and rubbed mud on his face and now he's got eyeballs. Don't ask me to believe that. That Jesus willed an empty amphora to suddenly be full of wine again. Don't ask me to believe that. I can't. I can't. Okay. All right. The Apostle John. You say, also on this day in 1659, Richard Cromwell was removed as Lord Protector. Yeah, Queen Dick. Richard Cromwell. So Oliver Cromwell dies. And everyone's like, wait, what do we do now? Wait. It wasn't just immediately, oh, we'll get Charles II back and the restoration of the monarchy. No. For a while, the establishment, I suppose you could say, was like, wait, what do we do? Well, Oliver Cromwell has got a grown-up son, Richard. You know, like a hereditary monarchy, we could just make Richard Cromwell the new Lord Protector. Let's do that. And they did it briefly. But he was super weak. Well, in order to do that role, you would have had to be in a force of nature, like Oliver Cromwell. And Dickie Cromwell just wasn't. People called him Queen Dick. You know, not King Richard, Queen Dick. So he was just, he didn't really want to do it himself and wasn't capable of doing it. So that was a relatively short moment in time, the protectorate of Richard Cromwell. In the end, the army take over, effectively. General Monk takes over, in essence. Getting the monarchy back. Charles Stuart, Charles II. We're going to have the monarchy back. All right. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. How are you? All good, I hope. You say, I've been thinking a lot about our film industry. I'd like to see it invested in, especially under a Restore government. I'd like to see more beefy British stories again. That would be nice, wouldn't it? We made like war films about heroic stuff. We made films that didn't just make us all look weak and stupid and incompetent all the time. And the baddies and everything, always. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I agree with that. Make films about heroic things. The Englishman did. Yeah, absolutely agree. Why not? Could we have any sort of media which isn't completely designed to subvert us and destroy our will and morale? Could we have that? Maybe. Fallen Firebird says, beneath the blue hair and the kefir, the dead eyes and the piercings and tattoos, you can sometimes see the echo of a normal young English woman before she was corrupted by leftism. It's a crime. Yeah. Yeah, leftist thought is brain rot, isn't it? It really is. It's subversive and corrupting and disgusting and backward. Revolting on every level. It appeals to weak minds, weak characters. It appeals to those that have already got a chip on their shoulder. The politics of resentment. That you already feel like you're a complete loser. Well, here's a set of ideologies tailor-made for the loser. Leftism. It's a shame. Real shame. Fortin Barber says, to be clear, I don't want government funding at all in the film industry, just more funding while store is in. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, not necessarily full government propaganda. Just allow films to be made which aren't designed to destroy our morale. Okay, now the YouTube super chats. There's a fair few of them, so try and whip through them a bit. I've got lots of other recordings I've got to do today, so I can't be here till 1:30 or anything. All right. Erwin Romulus, good morning, buddy. You said, holidays in Britain are great. Iron Bridge Gorge is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, there's honestly hundreds and hundreds of amazing places to visit in Britain. Loads. Our countryside is very, very beautiful. Lots and lots of things to do and see. You don't have to go to Mallorca. Right? You don't have to go to bloody Spain. Costa del Sol. You don't have to do that. Okay. AC1D Helm says, my missus would vote green. Love her. She's not a nutter, just lefty. Slowly bringing her round, but it breaks my heart. She doesn't know how bad it is. Yeah, I mean, just try and show her, if you can, try and explain that it's just not about environmentalism, the Greens. It's about extreme socialism, open borders and Islamism. What you say, she's just a lefty. What kind of lefty? You know? Just a wishy-washy New Labour type lefty or full-blown red? I mean, it's not a good idea. I wish you the very best, sir, in trying to convert her. You got to be careful, haven't you? When you try and change someone's mind, you can't force it. The best thing to do is just try and present them with facts and let them come to their own conclusion. Don't try and force it down their throat too much. It's a difficult thing. To change someone's mind is a difficult thing. It really is. Depending on the person. Hopefully she comes round. I've got my fingers crossed for you, buddy. I really have. All right, LJMV says, Bo, you magnificent man. Thank you. You should see Zach P's face in an interview when he disagrees with someone or if someone calls out his BS. He looks so vindictive and angry. Just noticed recently. Yeah, he's a freak. He's a disgusting freak. Physically and intellectually. Pure, pure, disgusting freak. Handpicked, subversive. Revolting. You know, filled with resentment and anger. Obviously so as well, at a glance. You're quite right, LJMV. Alright, user 4491 says, morning Bo, long time listener, first time caller. When Rupert becomes PM, I think we should move the capital back to Winchester. Any thoughts? Not a terrible idea. I mean, in all seriousness, no. But I like the idea. Would be nice, wouldn't it? We've had parliaments all over the place in the past. The way it was. It wasn't always just 100% in Westminster. Like the King's in Bristol at the moment, so we'll call a parliament in Bristol or something. Yeah, Winchester's a lovely place. Yeah, try and get drain the Westminster swamp in some way if you physically move the seat of government to somewhere else. It's not an insane idea. I mean, it won't happen, but on paper, in theory, I like the idea. Okay, LJMV again says you should do a physiognomy section. Yeah, it rarely lies. Thundercook 2028
says,
who do you think is winning the Ukraine war? Well, Russia's already won it. They won it like 3 years ago, effectively. their war goals were to occupy the Donbass region. They did that years ago. I'll get called a Kremlin shill just for saying that, but is that not the truth? Is that not the truth? Erwin Romulus said, instead of a new website for this day in history, I vote you just formally employ a global church history. Yeah, could do worse, couldn't we? Could do worse. He seems to know his stuff. A fair number of times he's out-history-broed me, isn't he? At least two or three times he said something, and I'm like, I don't, that's beyond me. You've got me there. You've done me there, son. You've done me up like a kipper. I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that thing. That's too obscure for me. He certainly knows his stuff, doesn't he? There's no two ways about that. Okay, and the last one for today, unless another comes in the next few seconds, says, from Tux034, says, have you looked up Sigurd's Day yet? Tom Rosell has some content on it. St. George's for Sivnats, winking emoji. I haven't, I'm afraid, but if Tom Rosell survived the drive, I'm honoured to call him a friend. If he's done some content on it, I'll look that up. But okay, yeah, going back to what a pre-Christian thing is that, Sigurd's Day. I don't know, I should have to look it up. Thank you. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. Okay, that's the show. It's now 11 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Wednesday the 6th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it really isn't a thing. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. If you've got time on your hands to use as you wish today, try and make it count. Try and do something valuable with it. You'll never get it again. Don't flitter it away like it's nothing, like it's of no value. It's the most valuable thing you'll ever have is your time. All right, I don't want to get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.